Welcome to Voices Love of Freedom.
Talk Radio.
Hey, I hope everything's doing great with you today. I've been reading through the Old Testament, and I got into the sections there where it started talking about all the offenses to the law, and if you do this, we're going to stone you, and if you do that, we're going to stone you. And I thought, man, I want to read something a little bit lighter. And so when I decided on something lighter, I said, well, the book of John writes about love. John was called the Beloved. Let me get into the book of John. Well, I got into the book of John, and starting about chapter 4 or 5, we'll look at it here. In about chapter 4 or 5, Jesus is talking to some people, and Jesus is getting rough on them. And it just makes me think a little bit that, you know, Jesus, he was perfect, and he knew all things. And, of course, that's always a big thing. But he was truthful. And I'm not saying that you and I know how to be this kind of truthful, because, to be honest, we don't know. Okay? So before we start being mean or hateful or whatever, unless somebody completely deserves it, you have to kind of be careful with that. But let me find my place here, and I want to turn back from chapter 8. Let me see here where we're at. Let's see, chapter 1 in John. Let me just give you some of this as we go. Chapter 1 in John, it was talking about in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Let me tell you, this Bible is just like holding the hand of Jesus. If you will read on it, you don't have to sit down and read half the Bible, but just read on it and think on it and just really take your time. And understanding, it's good stuff, because it talks about in him, in Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. You talk about something that lights up your life, that changes your life, it's having Jesus in there. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. See, with you and me, I'm in John chapter 1, verse 5. See, the Christian's light shines in the darkness, and the darkness wants nothing to do with it. What are the reasons? Well, number one, I don't think I can live it. That was one of the reasons I didn't want to come into the light. But a lot of times we look at the people and we just see the joy and the peace and the comfort and all the good stuff that's going on with them. You see, we see all these wonderful things that are happening. And all of a sudden, it's really easy for you and me to say, man, that has to be a fake smile. Man, the way they go on when they sing, that has to be fake singing. I mean, you see, because we don't have that joy, because that's the joy that comes out of Galatians 5:22, the love, joy, peace that comes from God. So it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, what they're talking about there is John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of Jesus Christ, who came to proclaim that Jesus is coming. So, he comes and he talks about the light of the world. He is not the light, but he is sent to bear witness of the light. And he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Now, here's where we're going here with John the Baptist. John's already saying, look, he's going to be in the world. Most people are not going to be interested. The scariest, most sad thing in the world is the fact that most people are just not interested in Jesus Christ. We've come to a position where if I'm not serving pizza at church, I'm not going. If I'm not playing games at church, I'm not going. If it's not something special, I'm not going. And I'll say this. Church is not something that you have to feel that it's a prison to you, because time with Jesus should happen every day. So I'll let that go where it goes. So he was in the world, and the world was made by him. The world knew him not. One of the saddest verses in the whole Bible to me. He was in a world that he made. People should have been, falling down and worshiping at his feet. Now, we'll do that one day, those that will believe. And you say, well, I wish I'd have been there, I'd have done that. Listen, it's easy loving right now on Jesus. All you've got to do is read this Bible and believe it. Because it says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Boy, wouldn't that be something? Jesus came unto his own people, the people that he loved, the same people you and I, we go witness to, and they don't want to hear it. We go tell mama and papa and mom and dad and our kids and, you know, our best friends and our favorite cousins. We love you. Come to church. We love you. Let's get saved. We love you. Don't give up on Jesus. We love you. We want you to come. And they just are not interested. See, it's the same with Jesus. Jesus came unto the Jewish people, and they received him not. They screamed, kill me, and all kinds of stuff. We'll kill him. And we'll get into that a little bit later. But here's the beauty for you and me in verse 12. It says, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. See, I got the power to become a son of God. How did I get the power? I got it from God. I didn't get it from myself. I didn't get it from any of the things that I do, you see. Now, let's skip over here to John chapter 2, starting in verse 13. Jesus cleanses the temple. Now, we've heard about this, and we know how Jesus goes through. And he says, take these things hence. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. So, what's going on? They're selling crippled animals at high prices to people as their sin offerings in the temple, which should never even be happening in the temple, right? But it just showed just how far they have come since some of the things we were talking about in the earlier lessons this week, where I was reading in Leviticus and in Exodus, where Moses had set up the temple, and this is the size of this, and this is what this room will be, and all the different things he's going through and sharing. And then all of a sudden, that's what we end up with, you see. So, Jesus made a scourge of small cords. He drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers of money and overthrew the tables. So, here's an opportunity for you to understand Jesus never sinned. So, what Jesus has done here, okay, is called, he can be angry, but sin not. And it's in the Bible. So, take that however you want. And he said unto them that sold doves, take these hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? See, so the Jewish people were already on Jesus. Why? And this is something that, man, so many times I hear, well, we've got to keep the peace in church. Well, we've got to keep the peace over here. And I'm afraid that the devil's got us keeping the peace on something because we're not standing up and saying, look, this is right, this is wrong, and this is not going to be tolerated. It's a scary thing to me, but here it is. It says, and they said unto them, and Jesus said unto them that sold doves, take thee these things hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And then his disciple remembered, as I said earlier, that what was written, thy zeal of thy house hath eaten thee up. Then answered the Jews and said unto Jesus, what sign showest to us, seeing that you do these things? Who gave you the power? And Jesus said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it back up. Because what? The Jews want to kill Jesus already. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple built. How will you raise it up in 3 days? But Jesus, of course, is speaking of his body right here, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So we go on over to chapter 3, and we get into a situation where Nicodemus comes by night. He was a ruler of the Jews, and he wanted to know what was going on, but he didn't have the guts to do it in the day. And listen, if you're lost right now, and it don't matter when you come and how you come to Jesus, but if you're professing to be a leader and professing to be an elder, professing to have grown in Jesus, you got to be willing to step into the light and be something sometimes. That's just the way it is. So Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews, who secretly came to Jesus by night. He was a Pharisee and a teacher. You see, they hopefully got saved. You know, who knows, whatever. But anyway, that's John chapter 3, talks about Nicodemus, talks about God so loved the world. We've heard a little bit about it, right? We go to John chapter 4, the Samaritan woman at the well. And we know the story there, I think. We know the story there as it goes. I wanted to get over here where Jesus starts pull at Bethesda. Well, the pool at Bethesda is a good one in John chapter 5. One time a year an angel would come down and do something there. And it would, the angel would come down, and whoever got in the pool first would be healed. Well, this time there's a blind man, okay? And Jesus sees this man, and he makes a little bit of spittle here, and he tells the guy to wipe it on his face, right? And he answered, and he said, make the man whole. The same day he said, take up thy bed and walk. Now, here's where the problem started. I'm sorry, I had this mixed up with another. He says in John chapter 5, verse 11, he tells the man who's lame, he says, who's carrying his bed, he says, take up thy bed and walk. Then ask they him, why is this man unto him? Why do you say, take up thy bed and walk? And he was healed by Jesus that time, at that moment, okay? So after Jesus found him in the temple, and he said unto him, behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. Now here's again the Jews. Remember where it said there, John, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Jesus was a Jewish man born, you know, as far as his earthly family goes. Joseph was seen as his father. Mary was seen as his mother. They're down through the line of David. They're down through the Jewish line, you know, the heir has to come, or the Messiah has to come through the line of the Jewish people, God's chosen people. So here it is. So the man departed, and he told the Jews that it was Jesus. Now here's where it really starts to get crazy, and it's just such a heartbreaking thing, because you can rip this right off the headlines of today's paper, okay? Jesus answered them, my Father's work am I doing? And the Jews sought the more to kill him, because not only had he broken the Sabbath when he healed this man and told him to take up his bed and walk, but he also made himself equal with God in verse 18. So these people are fired up. They want to kill Jesus. They ultimately do, as we all know. But isn't it amazing? Shouldn't they have maybe stopped for just a second and said, hey, why don't we give this guy the benefit of a doubt? Well, I'll tell you one thing. There's not much benefit of a doubt going on out there. You ever notice that? There is not much benefit of a doubt. Think on that for just a bit. Then Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but yet the Father has sent him to do, and so forth. So you get all this. Jesus is saying, look, I'm telling you who I am, where I've come from. You've seen what I've done. I cannot do this. Okay? He even goes on in verse 31. He says, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. See, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Isn't that the truth? If I just tell you everything and there's never anything to prove what I do, I could tell you anything, couldn't I? It says in the Bible, where two or three are gathered together in the name of God, he would be in the midst, I think is how that goes. So it takes two or three people gathered together to confirm anything, and I believe that's why John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. Hey, here he comes. This is him. I'm telling you, because if somebody just comes and tells you something, then where are we? Yeah, you see where we're going with that? So, he made himself equal with God. He bears witness. I want to get over here where it's really starting, where it really heats up. They're already trying to kill Jesus. Jesus walks on the water, feeds 5,000 with two fish and a barley loaf. You know, another thing that you got to look at, when these Jewish people are watching this stuff, man, oh, man, they're fired up. Why? Okay? Because they'd love to be able to do a miracle. I mean, they're already commanding the chief seats in the synagogue. They're already saying, look at my fancy robe I'm wearing. They've got all these different things going on. So it says here in John chapter 6, verse 41, it says, the Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it that he can say he came down from heaven then? sometimes you can read that and you can say, man, I can see how they'd have some questions. But you see, they don't want to know. They don't inquire to know. So Jesus, therefore, answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father, which has sent me, will draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. So what's Jesus saying? Listen, something's got to pull you to Jesus Christ. Something has got to convict you, is what I call it. Conviction's what it was called when I was a kid. And that's what happened to me in March 1997. The conviction drove me or pulled me to Jesus Christ. See? It is written in the prophets, and shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. See? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Boy, you think that didn't rip some hearts out. Then the Jews, therefore, strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye shall eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Now, Jesus is, I mean, he knows. Listen, Jesus shows compassion. You know, when the woman comes to him in the act of adultery and they all want to stone her, and Jesus says, he who is without sin cast the first stone. You know, hey, you know, it's on, you know. But they all waller off and, or wander off, and Jesus says, where are thine accusers? The lady says, I have none. He says, go forth and sin no more. Something worse is going to happen to you. Well, what is worse than being stoned? Hell's fire is worse, right? So these things, he in the synagogue, he's still coming and teaching. These Jewish people are trying to kill Jesus. He's having to slip in and out of crowds because it's not yet his time yet. Everything God does has a time. There is a limit. In the Bible, as far as timing goes and everything, there's where we're at on this. Okay? The timing is correct because it's God's time. When God calls somebody out of here home, it's perfect because it's God's time. Every time you and I get into something, every time something happens, God's master plan is going to be done in his time frame. So, I could go on and on, but the bottom line is this. You know, we always want a baby, and we should, because we don't know what God knows. But the bottom line with a lot of this stuff is, listen, God's got a clear plan. And the evil that is out here in this world, the evil that is here, we have just got to pass it by. We got to avoid him. We got to resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. The devil is roaring about, or you know, back and forth, however he can, you know, trying to do anything he can do. That's what he's trying to do here. He's trying to do anything that he can do. Now, I don't know how you feel about it, but listen, if the devil will try to deceive Jesus, he's too strong for me. If the devil will try to deceive or fight Michael the archangel for the body of Moses there in the book of Jude, I'm telling you something, he's stronger than us. We got to stay away from that stuff. I mean, stay away from the Ouija board, stay away from your horoscope, stay away from all the things that are going to sidetrack you, because listen, Jesus has got a straight shooter plan for you. And if you're out here playing games, I don't know how many chances you get to come back. So think on that and read these, probably chapter 4 through about 8 there in John, because Jesus is not mincing words with these guys. He's not playing around. You know, and you really got to know this stuff, because the God of love, yes, he's in the Bible, but the God of judgment, he's right there beside of him. They're the same thing. Have a great day. God bless.